This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and happy now to be talking with Nick Giannino. I finally get to talk with him because Bill has him cornered up every single week, but Nick, as most people know, is the new sports editor at the Gloucester Times, but a longtime sports journalist at the Salem News. And Nick, welcome to my side of town.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick. As you said, you know, always enjoy speaking with your partner in crime there, Bill Newell, doing the weekly podcast, but happy to jump on here with you as well.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about that because you guys are so knowledgeable. You, the Salem News sports editor, Phil Stacey, and, of course, the assistant sports editor, Matt Williams. You guys have so much to offer, so much information, and I just I want people to know that podcast, you guys get so many names and numbers out there of kids in the area that I think it's a real service to the community. And I wonder how you feel doing that, because, you know, writing is one thing, and that's a special talent. That's what you do. That's your occupation. But then talking about this and fleshing things out, what do you get out of that?
Well, we get a lot out of it. We really enjoy it, I think. It's not something, it's funny, it's not something that Phil, Matt Williams, or myself really go in and prepare for each week. It's Bill running the show, and we get a chance to highlight some of our great athletes in the area and some of the great teams in the area. And it's different than writing it down on paper, right, talking about it. So it's a nice change of pace for us and really gives us a chance, like I said, to highlight some of these great athletes.
Well, do you have a spreadsheet in front of you to get all these names and numbers and stats out there?
No, it's all from memory. You know, we're out and about covering games and writing feature stories and, you know, getting different tidbits here and there on different teams and different players. So most of it's from memory. You know, I think if we do the tournament preview podcasts and things of that nature, then yeah, sometimes I'll have something up on my laptop in the background, and I'm sure the other guys do, just as a refresher. But for the most part, you know, we know these athletes now. We're out there covering them every week, so. Yeah, mostly by memory.
Well, at MSO, Bill and I really appreciate the partnership we have with the Salem News and the Gloucester Times and others as well. It's just, I think it's so, first of all, it sates my curiosity because I want to know stuff that we can't get a hold of. And you guys are all over the place and you're shorthanded as you are. You still cover so much, you know, and it helps us get the story out there too. So we really appreciate that. Now, Nick, what's the difference now? In your assignments, in your job, or in your professional coverage in terms of logistics, from where you were at the Salem News and now where you are at the Gloucester Times? I mean, I know that they're in proximity, and there's a lot of blanket coverage, I think, among you writers. You cover each other. But how has your job changed?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's definitely a lot of crossover, but obviously I spent the past, 6 or 7 years covering the North Shore area sports for the Salem News, and Matt Williams and Phil Stacey have been there much longer than that. So I learned a lot from them, and recently, like you said, made the transition to the Gloucester Times as their sports editor in January. So my coverage has shifted a little bit, quite a bit, I should say. You know, now it's focused solely on Gloucester, Manchester, Essex, and Rockport. Whereas before, you know, the Salem News coverage area, we had about 12 schools on the North Shore area. But like I said, there's a lot of crossover. You know, you got Manchester and Rockport playing in the Cape Ann League, so playing against, you know, teams that are in the Salem News coverage area. You got Gloucester in the Northeastern Conference, which is playing a lot of those same teams from the Salem News coverage area. So it's been a pretty smooth transition overall, I'd say. You know, my focus has obviously shifted, and I'm learning a lot about, you know, different teams now and different players and building those relationships with the coaches and whatnot. But it's been good. It's very similar in terms of the type of coverage you're going to see, you know, game stories, like I said, features on different teams or, you know, accomplishments, things of that nature. But overall, yeah, it's been good. And I can't thank, you know, Phil and Matt Williams enough for all I learned over there in my time at the Salem News. And we still work very closely together. Like you mentioned earlier, you'll see us on the podcast with Bill Newell, and we share stories that are, you know, in both papers here and there. So it's been good.
Well, I know you make the assignments for the Times, but what happens when there is that crossover? Example, say Gloucester is playing at Salem. Who assigns the coverage there?
Yeah, that's something we discuss based on, you know, what other games are happening on the same night. I tend to try and lean heavily towards Gloucester. You know, they're the biggest school in the coverage area for the Gloucester Times. Obviously, the paper is based out of Gloucester, and a lot of our readers come from that area. So I'd say, you know, to your question, if Gloucester was playing Salem, I'd probably go to that game regardless. Unless there was another big game going on at the same time. But, you know, we pick and choose. We split up the coverage pretty fairly, I think. And when there are those crossover games, it's nice to know that if I can't make it, you know, maybe one of them can.
Getting a little more specific in your coverage, has that been a fairly easy transition? Because you know most of the teams anyway from working at the Salem News. But in other words, going to a rink or a basketball court, you're dealing with the local folk there. You're dealing with the scorekeepers. You're dealing with the coaches. You're dealing with the guys who take the tickets at the gate. So how has that transition been?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, you know, a lot of the teams that I covered for the Salem News, like I mentioned, would play these teams. So I did know a little bit coming in, but now I've taken a much deeper dive into each program. And you mentioned going to rinks. You know, I was pretty foreign to the hockey. That was more Phil Stacey's bread and butter, and I would do a lot of the boys' basketball. So it's been nice getting out there and seeing some hockey. I've really found a new appreciation for the sport, a new respect for those athletes, and I've enjoyed it. I mean, Gloucester, it's a great take over at Talbot Rink, catching some of those games, and they're having a good season. I'm heading over actually tonight to catch them in the playoffs, Division II opener. So it's been nice to kind of broaden my horizon a little bit. You know, I was really focused on one particular sport each season, and that's not to say I wouldn't chip in with coverage elsewhere, but, you know, for the most part, it was boys soccer in the fall, boys basketball in the winter with the Celtics, and then in the spring, I did a lot of lacrosse. So now it's a little bit of every sport, which has been nice.
Well, you have a great radio voice, Nick. I got to tell you that. Let me ask you a little bit about your background, because if I asked you before, I don't remember. Tell me about your education and what you did before the Salem News.
Sure, yeah. Well, I went to UMass Lowell, studied journalism, professional writing there. You know, learned a lot about how to craft the sports articles. You know, I wrote for the school newspaper there at UMass Lowell, was a sports editor. And it's funny, Kyle Gaudette, who I'm sure you know from the Newburyport Daily News, the sports editor over there, he was also at UMass Lowell, and he was a year younger than me. So I wouldn't say I groomed him, but, you know, I helped him out a little bit within the school newspaper at UMass Lowell, and he ended up taking over that sports editor role, and now, you know, look at that. We're both
I know.
In the same company doing a similar role. So that I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, after UMass Lowell, I landed a part-time job writing at the Newburyport Daily News, doing sports there under Dan Harrison, who was the sports editor at the time.
Yep.
I was there for about a year, and then in Salem the past, like I said, 6 or 7 years. I think it was 2016 I started there, so about 7 years, and then now, you know, transitioning into the role at Gloucester.
I took one course in journalism in college. I think it was literally Journalism 101. And back in the day, it was who, what, when, where, why, and how. And the newspapers would lead with that. It's so different now. I mean, you might do a story leading with a quotation, you know, at the beginning of the story. And looking for the score, it could be buried deep. But that's, you know, that's the nature of the beast right now, to be entertaining and informational.
Yeah, I try and keep a similar format, at least to my game stories. But, you know, I think the times have changed a little bit. There's a little more freedom with sports journalism, and, you know, I've obviously had the opportunity to write a ton of, you know, feature stories and biased take columns, I guess you could say, which, you know, allows me to really dig in a little deeper. But, yeah, in terms of the game stories, I mean, I've really crafted a particular format for those, and obviously it changes depending on how the game plays out. But for the most part, you know, you'll see a quick lead, a quote, and then dive into the rest of the game.
Are you going to develop a specialized column for the Gloucester Times?
Yeah, I've thought about it. you know, jumping right in the middle of a sports season was tough. But, you know, as we move through the playoffs here and into the spring, there'll definitely be sports centralized columns coming from me. Absolutely.
Yeah, those columns are so enjoyable to read because we get to understand the thoughts of the sports writers and also some of the things that they can't incorporate into a story, and it's really cool. And your coverage, I think this will be the final thing about your profession here before we get to talking about the actual sports you cover. The idea of covering high school kids as opposed to college and as opposed to the pros. That's something also that I think young reporters especially and young sports journalists and young broadcasters have to learn, because I remember, you know, I aspired to the big leagues, but then when I started broadcasting at WESX in Salem, it's a completely different ball game, and you're talking about, you know, kids who range from 14 to 17 for the most part. So how has that affected your love of sports journalism?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, if anything, it's heightened my love for sports journalism. But to your point, you do have to be a little bit more careful with what you put on paper there. You know, if you're writing about a professional sports team, you don't have to hold back. You know, if a guy let in an own goal to lose a hockey game in the NHL, then you say who that player was and how it went down. But in high school, you're not going to throw any, like you said, 15-year-old under the bus, 16-year-old under the bus. So you have to be a little bit more careful and cautious with that. You know, I did have a game earlier this season, and I won't go into too much detail, but there was a situation where team could have won it at the free throw line at the end of the game, and the kid missed two out of the three free throws to lose, and the kid that missed them was having an excellent game. You know, he had 25 points or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So that was a tricky one, because you want to praise him for keeping his team in it and giving them a chance to win the whole time, but then, geez, it came down to free throws, and he wasn't able to knock him down. So you run into situations like that sometimes, and you just got to be a little extra cautious than you would writing about, say, a 30-year-old professional.
You're right. I had one instance where there was a scrum during the Thanksgiving football game, and several players were disqualified, and I mentioned their names at the time. And then it hit me, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So I never mentioned it again. But I think in the heat of the moment you can do that, because you're describing the game, and you guys have to do the same thing to make those decisions. And I will say, the Salem News, you just have so much excellent coverage, and now the Gloucester Times. Well, the Times has always been good too. Nick Kukuru did a great job, and of course his grandfather. I don't think you knew him, but Doc Enos was the master. He's the guy who set the standard. One more question before we talk about the local teams. I want to go on the record. Are you going to get back covering the Celtics as well? Will we see your local angle on the Celtics?
Yes, absolutely. And as we spoke briefly before going on air here, you know, I've only been on this position for a couple months. You know, I've always been the Celtics guy for the Salem News, and that's something that I definitely want to keep going. But right now I was just focused on really diving in and honing in on the local coverage and building those relationships with the different programs in the area. And, you know, it is still a local newspaper, so that should be the focus, but we definitely want to get some pro stuff in there. I know Phil Stacey's still been getting to the Bruins when he can and getting some stuff in on them. And with the Celtics having such a amazing season once again, let's hope they don't, you know, blow it come playoff time. either way, you know, yeah, definitely going to be getting some more Celtics coverage in as we get towards the end of the regular season and into the playoffs here.
That's music to the ears of our, or to the eyes, either way, of our local folk, because, you know, I despise looking at AP stories in a local newspaper, you know, but I understand, I understand also how shorthanded you are, so I get that. Okay.
Yeah, we try to limit that as much as possible, for sure, but there are days where sometimes you do need the AP stuff.
Of course. Okay, let's go tournament time. Why don't we start with Gloucester Hockey, and then why don't you take me around Cape Ann with the tournament qualifying teams that you are covering and maybe your thoughts about them.
Sure. Yeah, we can start with the hockey team. Like I said, I'll be over there at Talbot Rink in Gloucester tonight as they take on Walpole. So the Gloucester boys had a pretty solid season, you know, 10 wins, 8 losses, 2 ties, wrapped up the number 12 seed in Division 2. I think they had some games where they probably could have won, should have won, but, you know, they dealt with injuries like a lot of teams do in high school sports, and they hit a little bit of a slump in the middle of the season. But they finished strong. They got a couple wins over Danvers and Swampscott to end the season, and, you know, with their strength of schedule, they still landed pretty high in the bracket and were able to get a home game. So they're going to have their hands full with Walpole tonight. That's a team that's, you know, perennially a powerhouse on the boys' hockey team here in the state. And while they've had somewhat of a down year this year, they're still fresh off a trip to the state Final Four last season. So, and that's a physical team. They're deep. They're well coached. So Gloucester isn't taking them lightly, that's for sure. And hopefully they can get that one, because in the next round they'll likely take on Newburyport.
Right.
And they played earlier this season.
Right. Okay, I know.
Program as well. And
I know I know you're pressed for time here, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I want to ask you about the real success stories in boys basketball, both Manchester, Essex, and Rockport.
Yeah. So, yeah, move right along. Manchester's had a fantastic season, 19-1, only the one loss on the road at Burke, and ironically, they ended up getting the number 5 seed in Division 4, the boys here, and Burke got the number 6 seed, so those two teams wouldn't face each other unless they met in the state championship. But I really like Manchester this year. I think they're well balanced. They get two studs leading the charge in Cade First in the backcourt, and Eddie Horaeus, a 6'6" big man that not many teams have the size and height to match up with that. So they're definitely a big threat in Division 4. There are some really good teams in that bracket, and it's not going to be easy, but I'd like them to at least win a couple rounds and try and make a run here. And then Rockport boys back in the state tournament for the first time since, I believe, 2010. And they're going to have a home game. So fantastic season for them. I wrote a feature story on them that was in the paper earlier this week, just talking about how small that school is. I mean, you look at the numbers, and the enrollment at Rockport is like 230 or something like that, and most of the other schools in the Cape Ann are at least double that. So just for them to get 12 wins and really bring everyone together in that community, they're all, you know, supporting them. The gym's been packed. It's been energetic in there. So that's been a really fun take with the Rockport boys, and they're going to have a home game on Friday. I believe they're playing Neighborhood House is the name of the school, so hopefully they can string together a couple wins as well. And then you had the Rockport girls, who also had a 12-win season playing outside of the Cape Ann League. They got no seniors on their team, and they were able to get, like I said, 12 wins, and they got themselves into the playoffs. They did lose on the road last night, Tuesday night, at New Mission, but really a good season for them nonetheless, and they were in that game right until the end with junior Allie George having 27 points, a career high, so they left it all on the floor as well.
Wow, okay. I just got to ask you, how enthusiastic is Phil Whitley this year over his kids?
Oh, he's over the moon. I mean, he knows what it's like to have to be a coach in that town and, you know, have the small numbers and what he's working with each year, and it's always an uphill battle for them. They're always the underdogs in the Cape Ann League, being such a small school, and to have this group come together, and one of the best players is actually his son, Josiah Whitley. Mm-hmm. Which is cool to see, and a lot of those guys have played for Phil in youth basketball about, you know, 12, 13 years ago. So mm-hmm. They've been going up through the program. They're really dedicated. They're talented kids. And it's no fluke. I mean, they're a legitimate team, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win a couple games in the tournament.
Well, Nick, thanks for coming to my side of the thing here on MSO instead of being with Bill tonight. I appreciate it, but I really enjoy watching you guys, you know, with the Salem News Sports Writers podcast. And later on, I want to be able to do this again, and I won't take so long with you, but I want to check in with you from time to time about Cape Ann Sports, if that's okay.
Yeah, that would be my pleasure. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nick. And, congratulations. We're happy to have you on Cape Ann.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
Take care. All right. That's Nick Giannino, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.